All right, y'all, let me move on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that Stan McDonald, attorney out of Huntsville, Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, a 30-year veteran of the practice of law and the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. So I'll start by saying that I'm really tired of liberals crying wolf. I just am. Tired of liberals crying wolf. I mean, especially in the face of overwhelming evidence that no wolf even exists. Take, for instance, liberal mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, a man who has never led anything in his whole life, a teachers union activist who now serves as the chief executive of one of the largest, most dynamic cities in the world. I said on CNN the other night that if stupid was a crime, Brandon Johnson would be facing a life sentence. But Brandon Johnson appears to believe that crying wolf is also part of his job description. He takes to the microphone. He claims that Trump is personally arresting black men. And Johnson uses rhetoric like fascists and Nazi and thugs against law enforcement. The mayor also claims that Donald Trump is trying to incite a new civil war. He signed an executive order setting up so-called ICE-free zones, and he requests also that citizens of Chicago would rise up and protest ICE. Y'all, it's galling. It's foolish. It's also clear evidence that somewhere along the way, Brandon Johnson was taught that crying wolf is a tactic. It's a strategy. It's a tool in the toolbox, if you will. Look, I know you've all heard the story about the boy who cried wolf. He cried wolf, and the people of the village came running out to protect their flocks, and he just laughed and laughed when he saw their panic. And thinking that it was quite the lark, the story goes, the boy cried wolf again. And once again, the villagers rushed out to their fields only to see the boy laughing at them. When he did it a third time, though, well, the third time it was actually real. But when he cried wolf, no one came because no one believed him. So let me suggest a bit of a backstory. On its face, the story of the boy who cried wolf is about trust and truthfulness and loyalty. But I have to imagine that somewhere in the backstory, there would also have been a negative example the boy saw that led him to believe that he could do this and get away with it. That's not an excuse, mind you, not at all. The boy was wrong. He knew it. He deserved whatever consequences he got, to include being eaten by the wolf. He got it for leading the people to believe that there was an emergency when there really wasn't. But in my opinion, crying wolf is more often a learned behavior. You see, knuckleheads see it done, or they hear it's possible, and they don't want to do what's necessary to get a job done or earn a promotion or take responsibility or just be part of the team, so they manufacture a crisis. They cry wolf, if you will, to try and leverage it for their own purposes. I came across a story a while back. The headline was this. It read, "Airman faked racist text claiming he was denied special duty." Huh. The story read that the 56th Fighter Wing at Luke Air Force Base in Arizona had dealt with a five-month investigation after a young enlisted man had posted alleged text messages between himself, he being a black man, and allegedly from a white superior officer. The young man would have been asking for an assignment to some form of special duty, which could often look good on your record to get promotion points or give a boost in pay. And in the alleged response to his inquiry, the supposed white superior officer responded that he believed that, and here's the text said, quote, "the Air Force is looking for somebody of white complexion and with the image the Air Force needs." Well, that turned into a whole thing, you can imagine. It was during the Biden administration, following the Summer of Love. Yeah, Summer of Love riots. In an era in which service members related to other news sources that they didn't feel they could speak out on anything that related to race because of the hypersensitivity of the current environment, it was somewhat gratifying to know that leadership at the 56th Fighter Wing took action and they found the whole accusation to be false. Not only false, but done for the sole purpose of trying to advance the personal career of the liar who was soon after facing punishment under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So, this was a reprehensible action on this young airman's part, right? I mean, did he really think he was going to get away with it? Well, truthfully, he may well have believed the stars were all aligned in his favor. He could perpetrate that kind of lie and it would just be well received. In my humble opinion, it was another situation where the boy cried wolf. The boy was wrong and deserves to be punished, but once again, the crying of wolf was a learned behavior. You see, that young airman could see the political winds, the calls for social justice, the reports of politicians and pundits literally kneeling down in front of protesters. Why would he not think he couldn't get away with it? Why would he not think that anything other than crying wolf would be okay? Look, keep in mind, we've been walking through an environment where Black Lives Matter, the organization, was allowed carte blanche to riot and extort millions from corporate benefactors on the notion that this is somehow a systemically racist nation, which it's not. But more specific to this situation, that young airman was serving under a leadership environment from the top down that had stressed time and time again that systemic racism is pervasive in the ranks of the various service branches. You remember this upon his appointment by President Biden to the vaunted position of Secretary of Defense. Retired Lieutenant General Lloyd Austin immediately issued an operational shutdown, remember that? For the whole purpose of acknowledging his position that extremism and racism and sexism were somehow pervasive throughout the whole culture of the military. Reports provided to Congress by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs indicated that tens of thousands of man hours were devoted to rooting out extremism. Mandatory evaluation reports were revised in recent years to ensure that there were annotations about whether or not the individual who was being raided had adhered to the commander's equal opportunity and sexual harassment programs. But it was a known death knell, by the way, to a career if any claim was made that the command climate of a unit in any branch of the services was not actively crushing extremism, whether it existed or not. So with all that going on, what was the young airman to do? That young airman who probably already had some personal issues that made him more likely to lie anyway, what was that young airman supposed to think? I'm a liar, and I want that special duty, and everyone knows racism is everywhere because I've been told that time and time again, so that's my story. I'm going to lie. I'm going to cry wolf. And once again, we saw that crying wolf was indeed a learned behavior, and he learned it by watching the senior-most leaders in our U.S. military and our country. Think about that. I got to ask, though, did anyone consider the irony at the time that the Secretary of Defense himself was a black man? Did anyone consider that long before President Biden helped him break the glass ceiling and become the Secretary of Defense, the very first black Secretary of Defense, that Lloyd Austin had already served with honor in the U.S. Army and risen to the rank of three-star general? And can we just add to the irony a bit and point out that Secretary of Defense Austin, aside from rising to the highest positions possible in a supposedly racist military, he also got his commission as an Army officer from Auburn University in good old Alabama. You know, the state that Gavin Newsom banned California state employees from traveling to, that racist state called Alabama. Has anyone ever considered, too, that General Colin Powell was a black four-star general who served ably as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and went on to become Secretary of State? Or General Eric Shinseki of Asian descent? Or General Shalikashvili, a first-generation immigrant from the Soviet bloc nation of Georgia? Under both Republican and Democrat administrations, by the way. So don't cry to me about systemic racism holding back people from special duty in the military, not for a second, not in a military in which it has long been proven that the roadblocks to advancement have been overcome by people of every demographic, from the lowliest ranks in the line to the highest positions of authority. You can't just scream racism as being systemic when you're actually looking at a retired black general who's a Secretary of Defense at the same time. All that crazy rhetoric did, though, all that crazy rhetoric did was just teach young soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines that they could cry wolf. Young members of our society, how to cry wolf, because they're told that they can by the leadership they were ordered to follow. Look, I heard an older lawyer once tell a jury about something his grandfather used to say to him growing up. He reminded the jury that one of the opposing witnesses who we had just caught lying on the stand, his granddad used to tell him, "You lie about a little, you lie about a lot." And it's true. And let's be honest here. Politicos and pundits who scream that the sky is falling, who cry wolf at the drop of a hat, they are willing to lie to get their way, and if they will lie about one thing, what else are they lying about? Ronald Reagan once said, "America was built on the voluntary principle by good neighbors who knew that they had to rely on each other." That's true. But it's hard to rely on a liar. And lying is generally a learned behavior. Politicians need to quit distorting reality. Stop crying wolf. We can't have that in a civil society. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.